This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Barbara Bogave. How do you waste money? This week we heard from a lot of you about your morning lattes, lottery tickets, and lunch dates. One listener said she buys far too much chocolate. But that's not a waste of money. That's just a necessity, right? And that's the thing. Waste is subjective. Here's a fact, though, about personal finance. You have to plug the leaky holes in your spending to stick to a budget. So we've invited a pair of listeners on the air for a little tune-up of their out-of-control spending. Carrie lives in Charleston, South Carolina, where she works as an orchestral musician. Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. And Seth is a management consultant based in Houston, Texas. And welcome to Marketplace Money, Seth.
Hello, Barbara.
Now, one more introduction, Carrie and Seth, before we grill you about your spending habits. I'd like you to meet Paula Pant. She's a personal finance journalist and author of the blog Afford Anything. Welcome, Paula.
Thank you. Wonderful to be on the show.
Great. Now, before I let you loose on our profligate spenders, can you lay down some guidelines for us? Because we all waste money one way or another, and I'm pretty sure that I don't want to hang out with people who never waste a dime. So given that, how should people think about where to draw the line on their budget leaks?
First of all, there's a difference between wasting money and using money in ways that you enjoy. So don't fall into the trap of thinking that any money that you spend on fun or entertainment is necessarily a waste. I mean, those are the memories that you're creating that you'll look back on 20 years from now and think, wow, I really enjoyed those times in my life. That's not a waste at all. In fact, it's arguably some of the highest and best use of your money, as long as you do it in a constrained, judicious fashion.
Well, that's the trick, right? Now, Seth and Carrie, let's see how you're doing with that. Carrie, why don't we start with you? Where does your money disappear to every month?
Going out. Going out after concerts, meeting up with friends, going to happy hour. I live alone and I spend a lot of time practicing, so I'm usually at home kind of all day by myself unless we have rehearsal. And so if somebody wants to go out and they send me a text, then yeah, I'm there.
Right. You're an orchestral musician. We said it's not exactly a partying crowd, right, who you work with?
It depends on the age or the constitution of the player. there's a lot of fun times that go on in the orchestral world.
But you do need to have a good time and to have some social time. So, okay, I think I've got a fix on you. Now, Seth, how about you? How much are you wasting and what do you waste it on?
All right, Barbara. So my business requires me to travel every week, so I'm posted up in hotels during the weekdays, and when I get off work, I waste my time on ordering hotel movies that are still in theaters, and my friends are big movie buffs, so I got to keep up with the shows that are still in theaters. As we all know, these hotel movies are around like $19.99 plus tax, and I only really order a movie a week, but over like a month, that's around like $90, and if you spread that out over 9 months, it's quite a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm thinking, though, it's better than emptying the mini bar.
Right? Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
Paula, it seems that these two callers have something in common. I mean, they're spending money on their social lives. Sounds like healthy behavior to me. What do you think, Paula?
As a general rule, I mean, there's nothing wrong with spending money on entertainment. And in fact, there's a rule of thumb that says that you should spend roughly about 50% of your money on necessities, another 30% on discretionary spending, and then 20% on savings. And that's just a general rule of thumb. It doesn't apply to each and every specific case, but if that entertainment is contained within that 30% portion, then generally speaking, assuming you don't have any huge credit card debt or anything like that that should be addressed first, and assuming that you're saving enough for retirement and taking care of all of those things, then there's nothing wrong with spending money on your social life and on entertainment.
Well, Carrie, maybe I don't know if you have pencil and paper there, but how does that equation work for you? Is hanging out at happy hour hurting you financially?
Sometimes I go a little overboard with the going out. Looking at those percentages, just knowing what my budget is, my symphony budget is basically entirely necessities and savings. And then I have a couple of private students, and that's basically the money that I use to go out with. But sometimes that can mean spending, you know, anywhere from $80 to $100 over the course of one night going to different bars. So I realize that that is a little bit excessive.
I don't mean to pry too much, but can you give us a sense of how much you do make as a musician?
Yes. Our symphony salary is $20,000 a year, and I probably make another couple thousand with teaching.
So you're living tight. Paula, you want to weigh in here?
Absolutely. First of all, I can definitely relate to your experience of needing social interaction. I also work by myself, and when you're, especially if you're an extrovert, you know, I understand the feeling that you get to the end of the day and you want to talk to somebody. You've been at home
yes.
in your pajamas talking to your cat the whole day.
Yes, exactly.
So the thing that I would advise you to do is to separate out wanting to socialize with your friends from needing to spend money when you do it. And there are actually two different ways that you could tackle this. What I think a lot of personal finance experts would tell you, a lot of people would advise that you change where you go when you hang out with your friends. So instead of going to bars or to clubs, you could go take a walk through the park, you could go on hikes, you could just invite them over and you can hang out in your living room. That's certainly one tactic, and that's something that a lot of people would advise. I actually wouldn't recommend that, and here's why. It's hard enough to change your own behavior. It's almost impossible to change the behavior of your friends. You know, you can't force anybody else to change, and if your friends are going to go to the bar, that's where they're going to go, and you can't force them to do otherwise. My advice would be, instead of focusing on changing where your friends hang out, I would change what you do when you get to the bar. So instead of buying four or five drinks, buy a beer, buy a PBR, some kind of cheap beer, no disrespect to PBR, and nurse it for an hour or two. You know, you'll still be there. You'll still get the social interaction, but you'll only be spending a couple of bucks on a single drink rather than $80 or $90.
Yeah, rather than my usual Manhattans.
The one other thing that I would like to say is, Carrie, I think that you should really focus on earning more money. I mean, $20,000 plus a couple thousand extra is, it's not that much.
No, I know that. And the thing is, the way the orchestral world works, you can only audition for orchestras when they post an audition, as in there's an opening. San Francisco just posted, and that audition will be next winter. And that would be a jump to about, that salary is probably $200,000. But of
wow.
course, there's going to be 100 people that audition for that after they screen the 300 resumes that they get. So there are really probably only about 20 working orchestras in this country right now.
I know you make some money giving music lessons on the side.
Yes.
Do you have the time and the ability to ramp that up to do more private music lessons or to do the same number but teach it to higher paying clients?
Or perhaps perform in other venues?
I definitely do gig around. I mean, we all gig around because, you know, everybody realizes that we don't make a lot of money. Like, I don't play the violin or the flute where you could have 30 students. I play the oboe. So there's only so many kids that play the oboe. I do make reeds as well because we make our own reeds for the oboe, and I sell those.
Oh, that's great, because that's something that you could really scale.
But I can't spend all my time making reeds that I'm going to mail out because, you know, I mean, because I need practice time and need to make my own reeds. But yes, expanding my income. I know, definitely living the starving artist lifestyle now.
Keep focusing on those side gigs that can earn you some extra money.
Yeah.
Seth, we don't want to leave you hanging. How's your financial situation? Are you doing pretty well?
So I am. This is my first job out of college, and since I'm traveling on the weekdays, I decided to sublet my apartment in Houston and post up with my parents. I was fortunate enough for them to take me in and put up with me. So I'm actually putting away about 70% of my paycheck into various savings accounts, Roth IRA. A traditional 401k, like an emergency fund. Basically, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts and marketplace money. Yeah.
Of course you are. So you just have this $90 ticket item of movies.
Yeah, probably about $90 a month, $90 to $100 a month.
So, I mean, Seth, you're doing really, really well. Saving 70% of your income is fantastic.
Unbelievable.
And especially, you know, when you're young and that money can really compound dramatically throughout your lifetime, you're in a fantastic position. And so if you were to tell me that you were spending $90 a month on something that you loved, I wouldn't blink an eye at it. I'd say, that's fantastic. Go for it. Heck, double it.
Do you love the movie, Seth?
Yeah, I do. Every once in a while, though, I fall asleep because it's kind of late. So I feel like I wasted about $10 of the movie. I just feel like I could spend my money elsewhere.
I mean, so that is actually the part that I would latch on to, that you're not sure where you could spend it, because it seems to me like what you're really lacking is, this is something that I write about often, it's what I call the big why. And that's the why you're saving. What is your money for? Because without knowing that why, without having that huge goal that keeps you committed, you'll always be at the risk of frittering away money, of buying a $20 movie and then falling asleep on it. And if it's not going to be a movie, it'll be something else.
Sure, you could always watch movies on your laptop.
Yes, it's not the same, but it would save me a lot of money.
Now, Paula, just in the spirit of fairness to Seth and Carrie, I should ask you, what do you waste your money on?
Good question. Honestly, I spend too much money on home improvement. I bought a bit of a fixer-upper about 3 years ago. I got a great deal on it. And I think because I got such a good deal on this house, but it was in such bad need of repair, I've been over-fixing it and over-repairing it and making it a little bit nicer than it needs to be.
I love to hear when a personal finance expert buys a money pit. Good luck with that. I think we're all done with our lecture for today. Thanks so much to Carrie and Seth for sharing their stories about wasted money. It was great talking to you both. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
And special thanks to personal finance journalist Paula Pant. Her blog is called Afford Anything. And Paula, thanks so much for giving us some advice on that score.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.